I'm Mike. I'm one of the pastors here at First Presbyterian, and we're in a series of messages where we're looking at the Psalms, this great treasure right in the middle of the Bible that express every possible human emotion. Gives us great comfort, doesn't it? To know that in the Psalms, we find the freedom to come to God just as we are. Joyous, afraid, grieving, longing to be challenged. God makes it clear through the Psalms. He wants us to come as we are. With all the emotion that life in a fallen world creates for us. And this morning, we're going to look together at the 46th Psalm. Now, there's great beauty to the 46th Psalm. It's short. Remember, you want 45 minutes, you got to come twice with me. It's short, 11 verses. It has three distinct movements. And it was written at a time when the psalmist cannot be accused of being Pollyanna-ish with regard to their faith in God. Would you join me as we pray, asking God to open our ears to the power of the Holy Spirit, to what he has for us in the 46th Psalm. Father, we are grateful for your word. We're grateful that it calls us to come as we are, with faith, with doubt, with joy, with sorrow. And may the words of this beloved psalm speak to our hearts and minds in a new way by the power of your Holy Spirit. And may we learn well the lesson that you have for us on this day. And my prayer is that the loudest voice in this room might be the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's around 700 BC, we're told, that Jerusalem was under siege from the Assyrian army. Hezekiah was the king, and the nation of Israel knew upheaval. Under siege. You feel like you are under siege at all in your life? I don't think I need to go through the litany of events in our world that could easily make any or all of us feel like we're under siege in some way. We might not even have to look to the pages of our news feed to even say we're under siege. It might be in your own personal life you are under siege. Could be a relationship that's crumbling. Could be a medical diagnosis. Could be a financial burden that is crippling you. But we're all, in some way, shape, or form, feeling the weight of living in a fallen world, aren't we? The psalmist writes a song of praise to God to say, this is who God is. Not because they locked themselves away in a room and refused to look at what was going on around them, being besieged by the Assyrians, but rather because they, with eyes wide open, acknowledged the state of their lives and the world around them, and witnessed God's provision and protection for them because God intervened and the Assyrians were turned aside. And a song of praise, a poem, was written to give thanks to God and to remind people, even today, this is who God is. God is. In fact, the opening words, God is our refuge. God is our refuge. And that's the first point from the first movement of this song. God, in his goodness and his care and his compassion for us, is truly our parent who seeks to provide us his refuge. Most Sunday mornings, you can find me in this area immediately to my right. It's called the gallery. It's called that because when I was a kid growing up here, it was an art gallery, literally. There were rotating art exhibits that lined that room in the hallway up to the fellowship hall, and we still call it the gallery. And I stand there, and while Sarah Gray helps escort preschoolers back to their classrooms, I get to engage with families, and it's fun. You ought to join me some Sunday just to watch, because we have some children who love to be here. They get excited, and they run, and they're excited to see Miss Melinda. And they eagerly say to their parents, bye, bye, bye. And they say that until their parents are out of sight. And then with a smile on their face, they're escorted to their classrooms. We have other people who aren't exactly happy customers. And you hear them screaming as they go down the hall. But occasionally we have one who's scared. And when they realize that somebody they don't necessarily know is about to take them by the hand and walk them down the hall, they seek refuge and they run to their parents, because that's what children do when they need refuge. They run to their parents and they either do this, hold me, or they wrap their arms around their knees. That's a picture of what it means to have refuge. And God, the psalmist says, is our refuge. That's important when you live in a chaotic, rage-filled, This equilibrium creating world where it's easy to get scared and long for a refuge. God is our refuge. The psalmist says something even more profound, I believe, in the next line. He said, our very present help. Our very present help. He doesn't say, God's like, if I don't have something better to do, I'll help you. If there's not something that comes up that I think's going to be more fun, which I will take that opportunity, I'll help you. No, he says, God is our refuge, our very present help. He's always there, willing to be our refuge. As people on this side of the cross, as people who know Jesus, who have been forgiven by him, we know that God is with us. That God loved us enough to put on flesh to say, I know what life in a rage-filled, chaotic, disequilibrium-inducing world is like. And in Jesus, we know our refuge. God is our refuge. In the next movement of this psalm, the psalmist paints a picture of raging, foaming waters and mountains crashing. It's a pretty ferocious picture. This week, we've seen raging floodwaters in parts of Kentucky and West Virginia. People lost their lives as raging waters overtook entire communities. There's a power in nature, and there's a power in water. And when water becomes enraged, we know the damage it can do. And the psalmist paints that picture for an ancient people and then said, but there is a river. There's a river that flows from the place God dwells. In their mind, they would have thought of the dwelling place of God. Again, this side of the cross, we know that God dwells in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that God is approachable. For the people that the psalmist wrote this poem for, God was in the Holy of Holies. It was the most secure place they knew. It was where they went to confess their sins and to seek forgiveness. It was where they brought their offerings. It was where the priest did their work on behalf of God. Now, Jerusalem, the temple, does not have a river flowing through it. But the river that the psalmist is speaking of is life. Water is life. Kind of ironic, isn't it, that it can be so rage-filled, yet without it, we have no life. There's some of you who are great scientists, and you love to follow NASA and their explorations. NASA has gone to Mars, right? We got a rover up there. You know what the rover's looking for? Water. Because what we really want to know is, are there Martians? But if we find out there's water, then we know, well, there might really be Martians, because water means life. And the psalmist says, though those waters rage and those mountains tremble and fall down, there is a river that flows from the Most High. And that river is not raging, that river is a life-giving gift from God, because God is our supply. Yes, he's our refuge. God is also our supply. He supplies us with the gift of life, the gift that he gave to us by breathing life into our lungs in creating us, and the life that he sustains through his refuge and his care. And that is the reason we can be hopeful, because God is faithful. And God is true, and as surely as he stands ready to lift us when we need refuge, he provides us with life through the living water that flows from the place where the Most High dwells. Don't we all need to know we have supply? A lot in the news this week on, is it a recession, is it not? Inflation is rampant. And people say, I'm stretching pennies. They're worried about their supply. The psalmist says, the ultimate supply is God, because he gives us life with his river that flows from him. The poem the psalmist wrote needed to remind people of their faithful refuge and needed to remind people of their living hope in the supply that God offers those who are his. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, I came not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through me. Jesus didn't come to create a raging water that threatens. Jesus came to provide a river of life that supplies true life. And then the third movement of this wonderful psalm has that line which Mike has sung for us, which has created songs, the great, a mighty fortress, which Michael opened with in our opening hymn. It's said that Martin Luther, in many of his darkest times, would say to his colleague, let's go sing Psalm 46. A mighty fortress. And this is free. You know, that tune was actually a tavern song. You can kind of hear it, can't you? Bum, 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 bum. Maybe it's just me. It says a lot about me, yeah. But I can kind of see some, you know, yeah, little ale being slung as people in the tavern. And Luther, walking by, said that would be a tune to God's truth. We see it on pillows, this line. Be still and know that I am God. It's a great line. It really is. It's probably not the best translation. Sorry to burst your bubble. You might have to go home and change out a pillow or two at home. The best translation is not be still, but stop striving. Stop striving and know that I'm God. You know, when we read, be still and know that I'm God, I have people go to me, oh, you know, I read that again and I just recommitted to my quiet time. And that's good. I hope you recommit early and often to your quiet time, because we need that time of personal devotion where we read and study Scripture and we pray and we just spend time in the presence of God. But this isn't a call to monastic practice. It's a call to utter surrender to the God of all creation, the one who is our refuge and our supply. It's a call to our true rest. Because I'll be honest with you, I could sit in total silence and say, God, I just need you to speak to me on how to deal with this issue that's pressing, this rage of life that is impacting me. And I can be quiet. Sarah Gray tells me I'm too quiet a lot of times. But I can be quiet. But that doesn't mean I quiet my soul. Because very often where I'm going, hey, God, I just speak, God, speak. In my silence, I'm scheming, right? I am trying to figure out all the angles. How can I fix this? And I'm striving to be my own God. And the psalmist says, stop striving and know that he is God. Stop striving. It doesn't depend on you. I hope that's freeing for you. And I'm glad it doesn't depend on me, because when I act like it depends on me, it usually doesn't turn out really all that well. But the God who is our refuge, the God who is our supply, wants to be our ultimate rest. Because the God who still storms, the God who brings desolations to those nations that rise against him, that God who created and still cares every day for his creation, longs for you to know the ultimate rest, which is total dependence on him. Be still. Yes, do a quiet time. You will not be sorry that you engage in that form of discipleship. But don't mishear the psalmist. Stop striving. Stop trying to live like it all depends on your figuring it all out and fixing it all, because God is our ultimate rest. Every time I stand up here, I look out on incredibly competent people. You guys too. That's a gift from God. Your expertise, your gifts, your passions, your competencies are gifts from God. But they're no substitute for God. Stop striving and know that he is God. We know a God in Jesus Christ who is our refuge, who is our supply, and who is our rest. May we, when the world rages, when our lives feel turned upside down, cling tightly to our refuge, drink deeply from his supply of the water of life, and stop striving to depend on ourselves but rest in his compassion and his grace and his goodness for us. And may this psalm be a song of our lives. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful that you indeed are our refuge. You indeed supply the deepest needs of our life, which is eternal life, and that you are our rest. May you be exalted not only among the nations and in the earth, but in our lives through the work Jesus Christ is doing in and through us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of the one who is our refuge, our supply, and our rest, we pray. Amen.